This is a Christian Science extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website mbeinstitute.org. On page 146 of Science and Health, Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science, stated that she reduced divine metaphysics to a system. And on page 330, she says there are 32 planks to the platform of the system. This prayer treatment is plank number 32 of 32 of the platform of the system of divine metaphysics. The entire 32 planks are covered in the textbook from pages 330 to 340. And she states that if they are followed in both the letter and the spirit, and that, of course, includes understanding them. So if you understand them and live them, then the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be accomplished. Now, what is that? Accomplished means healing. Healing results when we understand both the letter and the spirit and live them. Now, what is the very first thing we need to do if we are very seriously interested in relying on Christian Science for healing? I read something from someone very recently, and it didn't have a name attached to it. It said that when you pass on, everything that you have given away to others for their benefit and the benefit of any part or all of humanity, you can take with you. But anything that you have received, with yourself being the subject and the purpose of getting whatever you received, that all needs to be left behind. Contemplate that as a message. A very important message. All of the great healers, and there have been many in Christian Science, healed everything from every sin, disease, sickness, and healed the deaf, overcome the belief of death. And there are three that we have followed very closely that had 15-minute appointments. And by the end of 15 minutes, it didn't matter what the problem was with the patient, it was healed. In 15 minutes. One individual was just in one office for 16 years, Joel Goldsmith. Another one, Frederick L. Rassen, discovered how to heal back in time. He also had 15-minute appointments. He also wrote a book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And in it, under a chapter entitled Applied Treatment, he lists 1,315 different ailments, giving a very brief description of what the medical analysis is of it, and then giving the Christian Science reason, the function of the various thing that is a problem, and how to go about healing. And if you connect that with going back in time, it seems very reasonable to understand that any memory of any pain or aggravation associated with the problem, from the very time that you noticed you had a problem until the time you had your appointment with Mr. Rassen, disappeared from consciousness. It was healed, which means it was discovered that it was never real, which means that it never could have caused a problem, and the consciousness totally lost any track of it, because the healing took place back in time of when you first noticed you had the problem. Einstein has stated that you cannot solve a problem on the same level as where you discovered the problem. We must expand our dimension so that we can follow the quotes at the beginning of the textbook. By the way, Mary Baker Eddy describes herself as a scribe unto the orders of God and does not take credit for the textbook. The first quote at the beginning of the textbook are the words of Jesus: "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The second is a quote from Shakespeare: "There is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third one is by Mary Baker Eddy: "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." God doesn't have anything to enable him to hear that is called an organ, but he is all hearing. He is all seeing, all acting, all smell, all taste, all feel. But everything is based on spirit being the only substance. Genesis 1 states in verse 26, "Let us make man in our image and likeness." And 27 says, "And so God made man in his image and likeness." Genesis is divided up into 7 days. That's up through verse 3 of chapter 2, from the beginning. So it's divided into 7 days, and the first 5 is creating everything except for man. That's day 5, day 1 through 5. Day 6 is devoted to man, which I just quoted from. So after everything else was taken care of, what did God do? He gave dominion over everything that he had done to man, you and me. We have, therefore, the capacity, the capability, the functionality, the facility to reflect every single quality of God. And through that, by understanding what we have been provided as our heritage, we have total control over everything in the universe. And obviously, that includes ourselves. Every moment, we have a choice of what we're going to do with our time. Every moment, we have an opportunity to either accept or reject anything that comes to thought. At the end of 7 days, God rested. But before he rested, he said everything he created was very good. Every project we're involved in, we've got to make sure it's every good, very good, and finished. Then we can rest. And remember, God rests in action. So that doesn't mean that we stop being productive. That just means we rest from that activity. And we will complete it in perfection if we let the qualities of God be our guide. So when Mary Baker Eddy says, "Oh, I am blessed, and that thou hast heard my prayer," contemplate the possibility that she is following what the Bible says about prayer. It says, pray without ceasing. It seems like the way we can really do that is all these moments that we have all day long, we should take or let our thought, speech, and action follow the perfect model. God made everything perfect. He's all intelligence, all wise, all knowing. All capacity, capability, functionality, facility. And the substance is spirit, which is flawless, because it's the opposite of matter, which is flawed from beginning to end. And since spirit is flawless, that means it's transparent, and because it's flawless and transparent, it is reflective. So we have the ability to reflect the qualities of God because spirit gives us that capability. And soul is spiritual facilities. Seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smell. It's the spiritual senses. It's how we identify everything. And principle is structure. Always in balance, always harmonious. And since mind is the one with all the capability of action, it is the one responsible for having a system for the structure. So we have a structure in principle, which applies to everything. Everything has a structure. And mind provides a system, so that the structure is functional, self-operating. Life is living all the qualities of God. Truth is making sure we stay on track and that we're conscious of it, of what the difference is between truth and error, good and evil, mortal and immortal, spirit and matter. A false sense of senses, which is material, and the real senses. Principle versus chaos. Life versus death. Truth versus error. And what about love? Hate versus love. Wholeness versus lack. Nurturing everything to completeness versus being passive and being unproductive. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. The title of plank number 32, which is the last plank that completes the platform for us to stand on and build our individuality to be reflecting all of God's qualities. It is entitled, Basis of Health and Immortality. Now, we're not talking about health that is dependent upon physicality, internal organs, or any of that kind of stuff. We're talking about health that is permanent. In the first day of Genesis, it's divided into 7 days. It says, and let there be light. In other words, it's like getting an idea. We are enlightened. Does that come from the sun? Or the moon? Or the stars? Does it come from magic? Did Jesus heal based on magic? In other words, were they miracles? Or were they a product of him understanding the truth about every individual he was dealing with? And how it relates to Genesis chapter 1. That's science. That's not a miracle. A miracle only means you don't understand how it happened. And so you class it as something that is esoteric. Magic. Something that is unbelievable. Like you're in fantasy land. There is no fantasy land that is real. The only real existence is immortal. As the title says, immortality. It was mentioned about the science of divine metaphysics. that it was reduced to a system. And it was mentioned that there's 32 planks that form the platform. And we can't have a single plank missing from the platform. It has to be complete. And that our duty in being a loving individual, reflection of God, is to nurture mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love ad infinitum. In other words, always. And it was hinted about the Bible saying that we should pray without ceasing, that maybe what Mary Baker Eddy meant was that when we are in alignment with the laws of God, which are omnipresent, covering all existence, that's without limit, then we get the benefits of that harmony and that balance that is in divine principle, and everything about God is omnipresent. So divine principle is omnipresent, and it represents harmony and balance. So we get the benefit of that when we're in alignment with the laws of God. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Bible tells us that we cannot love the invisible if we are not loving the visible. That's what the golden rule is all about. Love thy neighbor as thyself. We cannot even begin to think about loving God if we don't love every single human being that is walking on earth. Not as a sinning mortal, but as Jesus did, where he loved them as an innocent child of God. And him seeing them as an innocent child of God healed any problem that they were confronted with. Period. Chapter 18 in the textbook, which is pages 600 to 700, is testimonies of 85 people. And together they were healed of 486 different problems. Some of them may have had the same problem. For example, if two or three different people had a problem with vision, and they were healed of vision, that's counted as three times in the 486. But there were 486 different healings. Most of them were different, but there's a few of them that were the same type of problem. That's just under six apiece. They were probably looking to heal one thing. And because of their spiritual advancement, as they were working to heal the one thing, everything else was healed that was a problem that they were not even hardly conscious of. And one of the big clues in healing is to forget about the problem and focus on what? The solution. We can't dwell on the problem if we want to solve the problem. So many times I've had a problem to solve, and the solution came to me when I wasn't thinking about the problem. I was doing something unrelated. I could have been taking a shower. Could have been doing errands. Could have been sitting on a beach on a vacation. But it came to me when I wasn't thinking about the problem. That's how we can forget about the problem. Be actively involved in cultivating a life of productive activities, and solutions will come to us. I've forgotten something temporarily, and the thought would come to me to state it will come to me often. It comes very quickly after I turn it over to God. Let's take these one at a time the key points. I will read the whole thing in prose and then take it one point at a time. So again, the title is Bases of Health and Immortality. As the mythology of pagan Rome has yielded to a more spiritual idea of deity, so will our material theories yield to spiritual ideas, until the finite gives place to the infinite, sickness to health, sin to holiness, and God's kingdom comes, quote, in earth as it is in heaven. The basis of all health, sinlessness, and immortality is the great fact that God is the only mind, and this mind must be not merely believed, but it must be understood. To get rid of sin through science is to divest sin of any supposed mind or reality, and never to admit that sin can have intelligence or power, pain or pleasure. You conquer error by denying its verity. Our various theories will never lose their imaginary power for good or evil until we lose our faith in them and make life its own proof of harmony in God. Okay, let's break it down into key points. The first one says, as the mythology of pagan Rome has yielded to a more spiritual idea of deity. That was a big deal for Moses when he heard the words, I am that I am. Forget all about mythology. That is a myth. Think about the spiritual facts about God. The definition on page 465 says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Incorporeal. It's common for people to think that Jesus is God. But a Pharisee asked him, good master, what shall I do to gain eternal life? Now, this happened to be a wealthy Pharisee. He was a tax collector, and he wanted more than what money could buy. He wanted eternal life. Do you think he liked the answer? Jesus knew what his problem was. He had a God of material wealth, whatever it was, houses, chariots, an army, private army. Didn't say what he had. He just said he was a man of substantial wealth. So Jesus had to tell him that he had to develop a life of giving instead of taking. All of his wealth he got by taking. He didn't give any of it away. And that's the number one step if you want healing, is to cultivate a life of giving. Focus on other people instead of your own self. Ego is the biggest problem for the so-called human brain. It does not want to accept anything it doesn't already know, and anything that is in conflict with what it thinks it knows, it rejects it outright with animosity. So Jesus told him to sell all of his assets and give it to the poor. It took him about 1 second to make up his mind that he wasn't going to do it. Forget this eternal life business. I'm not giving up a penny. And what did Jesus tell him about the title? He says, "Why call me good? There's only one good, and that's God." That's a capital G. G-O-O-D. Mary Baker Eddy, in the glossary, chapter 17, which is part of the Key to the Scriptures, defines the word good. G-O-O-D. Capital letters. She says it is God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. Pretty comprehensive. Very comprehensive. If you think about the first definition of God and this, and then there's another one on the same page as the definition of good in the glossary, page 587. It says God is the great I am. Those famous words that Moses was advised of. God is I am that I am. Well, this says God is the great I am. The. No competition. Great. Have you ever looked up the word great? There's only one great. We use it very commonly. It's an overused word. The, that means the one and only. Great, which means there's no other one. I am, means that he is all substance and all action. I am this, I am that. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. God's the only one that can do anything. He is the only one that is always there because he's omnipresent. All seeing, all acting, all wise, all loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. Between those definitions, wow. And on page 591 is the definition of man, which follows to a T what Genesis chapter 1 says. Mary Baker Eddy defines man as the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full expression of mind. I offered several terms that define mind: capacity, capability, functionality, facility. Those bring forth performance. Performance is measured as power. Mary Baker Eddy says the only power that man has is the good that we do and embody. Good. In other words, the qualities of God that we are living and expressing in thought, speech, and action. That's where we get our power, which is reflecting the power of God. Because we have nothing. We are nothing. We are a reflection. God is what is everything. We have the ability to reflect God. We either can do it or we don't. If we don't, we cannot have the blessings that Mary Baker Eddy refers to in that number 3 quote at the beginning of the textbook. Oh, I am blessed, because thou hast heard my prayer. It's the laws that have the power. God already did his work at the beginning, which is really now considered during the revelation. He revealed that everything was already done. And all we did is wake up and have the opportunity of letting our consciousness accept it. There is no beginning to truth. The Bible says, nothing new under the sun. And Habakkuk says, God is of pure eyes and to behold evil. So that means that everything that exists is good, perfect, reflects the perfection of divinity. Incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Everything that exists reflects those qualities. Everything. God is omni, everything, one, only, and all. No competition, no opposition. So the basis of all health, sinlessness, and immortality is the great fact that God is the only mind, and this mind must be not merely believed, but it must be understood. How do we get rid of sin? It says right here, to get rid of sin through science, that's a capital S, which means God, is to divest sin of any supposed mind or reality, and never to admit that sin can have intelligence or power, pain or pleasure. You conquer error by denying its verity. Our various theories will never lose their imaginary power for good or evil until we lose our faith in them and make life its own proof of harmony in God. So we have to stick to the facts. That's the first point. As the mythology of pagan Rome has yielded to a more spiritual idea of deity. See, that's the very first thing we have to do. We have to let the truth into our consciousness. And why? So that our material theories yield to spiritual ideas. Number three, until the finite gives place to the infinite. Number four, sickness has to yield to health, sin to holiness, and God's kingdom comes, quote, in earth as it is in heaven. That's 4, 5, and 6. So we have to have everything that is unlike God yield to its opposite. We have to focus on truth. We cannot focus on the problem. The problem is a belief that we had a material birth that was a result of a man and a woman getting together and producing another bit of matter, and that matter germinates and becomes an individual. But that's the false record. That's Genesis chapter 2, where it talks about Adam and Eve. And before it talks about Adam and Eve, it says, and there went up a mist, M-I-S-T. Those are small droplets of water that are so small you can barely see them. But they're water that it's a rain. It's a rain that is so light. Very light. So, the basis of all health, sinlessness, and immortality is the great fact that God is the only mind. Mary Baker Eddy makes that so clear that a so-called mortal mind is fake because mind is immortal. So a mortal mind is an oxymoron saying that mind is mortal, but mind is not mortal, it's immortal. It can't just be merely believed. To be substantial, it has to be understood. If you want to heal like Jesus did, you have to understand the science behind his healing. And that's exactly what Christian Science is. It is explaining the science behind the healings of Jesus. And you have to start by cultivating a life of giving. He gave his life. Once he was out underneath the obligation of spending 30 years getting ready for being independent, then he really went to town. So we have to know that there's only one mind. And this mind must be not merely believed, but it must be understood. To get rid of sin through science is to divest sin of any supposed mind or reality. and never to admit that sin can have intelligence or power, pain or pleasure. The scientific statement of being comes into play right here. From page 468 of the textbook, the recapitulation chapter, there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is His image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. A lot of very important messages in that. And we can use it by switching out some of the words. If we have a particular problem we're working on, instead of saying there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter, we can say there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in, and then state what the problem is. All is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. And then state the problem is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. And then state the error is unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is His image and likeness. I am an individual manifestation of man, and therefore I am God's image and likeness. Therefore, I am not material. I am spiritual. This applies to me. It applies to all humanity. We want to keep our umbrella large to include everyone. And then it goes into the universe of thought, where anyone that is receptive can tune into the message. There's no border as to where the truth ends. It's infinite. Everything about God is infinite. The truth is infinite. So we have to deny the error. It has no factual base, no verity. We have to lose our faith in the imaginary power of evil. We have to be harmonious with the laws of God. We cannot make progress unless we take a back seat to the one and only real God. And that's a God of spirit, not a God of matter. It's being grateful for the spiritual qualities, not material things. Translate it to the spiritual qualities. That's what we want to be grateful for. You want to give gratitude? Give gratitude for life, truth, and love with a capital T and capital L and another capital L. Life, truth, and love. Yes, we should be grateful that we have food, shelter, and clothing, but we should relate to them as their spiritual qualities are. Define them in spiritual qualities, not in visible symptoms or symbols. If we smell the fragrance of some beautiful rose, always express it in the quality. I was with a long-time, very successful practitioner, visited her and her husband at their home. And when I arrived, which had been pre-planned, of course, she and her husband were watching the Summer Olympics. and acrobatics was on, and she said, look at the grace of that girl. She immediately was looking to be able to express the beauty of what was going on by naming the spiritual quality that seemed to be the overpowering quality that was being exhibited. That's what came to her thought immediately. Nothing else. The qualities. She told me one time, qualities, qualities. All is qualities. All is. Meaning they all are together as a unit. Because is a singular verb. And a plural, what appears to be a plural subject, but is really a singular subject. Think of a matrix. You have seven columns and seven rows. We have a list of all of the words that Mary Baker Eddy uses for each of the seven synonymous terms for God. And this was compiled by the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, Helen Wright, and her husband. Helen was the avid writer. So if you want to see every word that Mary Baker Eddy used to describe mind, we have it on the website. One click and you can be it there. Just look for words and opposites in the menu. If we know the terms that define each of the seven synonymous terms for God, it's much easier to think about them throughout the day because you have, oh, I don't know, maybe 50 to 70 words that describe each one of the seven. And you're probably involved in one or more of the activities all the time. I mean, you have to be. Because God is omnipresent. You can't be involved in any activity unless it's an evil activity without it being an activity of God. Anytime you get an idea about something, thank God. Thank mind. Thank you, mind. Or just affirm that mind knows all. God is all-knowing. And God is mind. Okay, let's see what our friend John L. Sinton has. He says, the opening sentence illustrates spiritual evolution in conjunction with scientific translation. Reviewing the whole platform, we observe how the spiritual idea defines the infinite at the highest altitude possible and yet is the basis of health and immortality. So in other words, it's the platform. It's the foundation. And yet, it comes from the highest altitude. And of course, that's what we have to know. That's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on the absolute, which is the highest altitude. It's what God is. But we have to know that that is our source for everything good, for everything, everyone. It says, this basis is the great fact that God is the only mind. What is mind? It's there on page 469. It is God, good, the only mind. The acceptance and understanding of this great fact eliminates sin wholly and finally. So the key points. We have to recognize spiritual evolution and transfer our thought from material to spiritual. Point two, reviewing the whole platform, we observe how the spiritual idea defines the infinite at the highest altitude possible. And three, yet is the basis of health and immortality. Remember, mortal mind is an oxymoron because mind is immortal. We always have to be focusing on the divine mind, the perfect mind. Number four, this basis is the greatest is the great fact that God is the only mind. 5. What is mind? Opens on this same note. God, good, is the only mind. 6. And last, the acceptance and understanding of this great fact eliminates sin wholly and finally. Wholly and finally. If you think about each of the 7 terms, love is the one that defines wholeness, completeness. And we're going to be able to benefit if we cultivate all of the other qualities, because that's the only way that we can get wholeness and completeness of love. And love is giving, not taking. It's giving. Healing is a result of giving. We have to give up any material sense of body or brain, which of course is a part of body, or anything connected, heart, nervous system, all this kind of thing. We have to look at it as a spiritual quality. There are 2 or 3 pages or more in the back of the book that was mentioned, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And it names each of the major parts of the body and their spiritual function. Now, I highly recommend you study that. Not each of the 1,315 ailments, but each part of the body. It's only 2 or 3 pages long. And you'll be surprised at how every single part of the body has a spiritual function. Spiritual. That's the true function. The medical profession won't relate to what I'm saying. But if you're a good thinker and you want to learn, the tools are there. MBEinstitute.org. Everyone needs to be working out their own salvation. You can't work out mine. I can't work out yours. Because we have to individually understand. And the only way we can do that is by following a very structured procedure. And we give you all the details. And use every sense. Seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smell. Every sense. In a spiritual way. What do I mean by that? Well, seeing means discernment. What is discernment? You can tell the difference between one thing and another. And spiritual seeing means that you can tell the difference between truth and error in what you're looking at. And what is hearing? If you haven't looked up the term hearing, you probably don't know the real meaning of hearing. It's understanding. And if you look through the lens of spirit, it is spiritual understanding. If you realize the only substance is spirit, then the only seeing is spiritual hearing and spiritual seeing and spiritual everything else. Smell, feel, and taste. How does something have to feel right from a spiritual viewpoint? Which is the only reality. It has to comply with the laws of God. Everything about it has to comply with the laws of God. So you can distinguish the difference between truth and error. You can stick with the one real mind by understanding what the laws of God are. And the book entitled Your Divinity Revealed by Helen Wright has 7 chapters in it, 4 through 10, and each chapter is a complete exploration of each of the 7 terms. So chapter 4 is on mind, Chapter 5 is on spirit, and so forth. It follows the same order of unfoldment that the days of creation does in Genesis chapter 1. That is the order of mental development of any project you're involved in. Since this is the final plank, I'm going to share with you the seventh of seven prayers by Mary Baker Eddy that she gave to her very top class, which was her final class. Every student was hand-selected by her. And at the end of only the third day, to tell you how advanced they were given an assignment to go out and perform a healing. Of course, the real healing comes from truth, but they had to be the catalyst. They had to connect, to deny the problem could be real, and the truth about it, which is the reverse of the problem, is the only true action. And their thorough understanding of that enabled them to have a healing. Not in 10 days, but immediately. And then report it to the class the next morning. Everyone did. 100% success. And when that class in the metaphysical college was over, everyone that completed the class was awarded a CSD degree, Doctorate of Christian Science. These were the cream de la cream, top of the class. The cream rises in a bottle of milk. The cream rises to the top. If there's any other thoughts that come to me, like very brief, a minute or two or something like that, I will share it with you after I say amen on the prayer. And these prayers are all entitled Diapason of Heaven. Diapason means compound concord. Mary Baker Eddy lived in the city of Concord, New Hampshire. Not discord, concord. And as a gift to the city, she built a church there. And I've visited it. It's very, very fine. It's very symbolic. Some very interesting things that she designed into the church to represent certain symbols. Okay. I shall recite to you the prayer for love. Most of these prayers are very short, 4 or 5 lines, but this one is very long. It's like a page and a half, so I will only read the finale. And then you can go to the website and read whatever you want. All of the prayers are there, or you can just pick out whatever is of interest to you. But I will close with just the last part of the prayer on love. Diapason of Heaven for love. We must know the utter unreality of the belief of an evil mind. There is no mind to create evil or matter. You must gain the assurance that a good mind is the only mind. This consciousness obtained reflects the Christ consciousness. Know that there is just one I or us, and that is God, good, mind. Your identity is the reflection of that one I or us, mind. Hold to that identity. Do not identify yourself with evil or error. Do not claim a so-called material ego which denies good and says, I have no understanding, or I have so little understanding. When you do this, you put understanding away from you. You must rise up and affirm that you do have understanding, light, and infinite goodness. Declare, I have understanding. I have faith. I have spiritual consciousness. I have all there is. There is no consciousness apart from God, and I am at one with God. So declare for light. Keep your eye single to good. Man, the spiritual idea, dwells in light. Christ dwells forever in the bosom of the Father, God, from which it illumines heaven and earth. So your being is filled with light. Claim this. Declare this light until all error, darkness, disappears. Amen. Yes, there is one thought that I will pass on to you. Mary Baker Eddy did a self-exam of her own thoughts every hour. She was attacked, like Jesus, all the time. She wanted to make sure that she did not let any of those attacks become a part of her consciousness, because she did not want to have any ill feelings about anyone or anything. She wanted to have her thought filled with the goodness of God, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Contemplate that. Think about how that could be valuable to your future. If you just took a couple of minutes every hour, imagine what that would do in keeping you on track. We all need to do it. I certainly have not ascended. I don't know anyone that has, that I've personally known. I've read about Jesus and John, and there have been other ones in the Bible, but there's no record of anyone finding their body. So we're all working out our salvation. And we must let each one work out their own without interference of our thought that is negative. So an hourly reminder, no matter how short it is, could be of extreme benefit to you and all humanity. It is Friday, February 27th. 2026 at 1743, and the title to this plank number 32 of 32 is Bases of Health and Immortality. Thank you for listening. The end.